Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite.
Good afternoon to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also those who are where the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín is, and all the ministers with their congregations who are gathered today, Friday, June 21st of this year 2024. We have the subject, the visitation of God, the greatest blessing, preached on Sunday, June 30th of 2013 in San Salvador, El Salvador. Our brother William read there the scripture of Luke chapter 7, verse 11 and on, where it says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he come and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still." They felt something there, those who were carrying the bier. When he touched the bier there, those who were carrying it felt something, because they stopped. He didn't have to say anything, he just touched it. Do you remember when she touched him, his garment, that woman with the blood issue, she could not heal. And notice, she said, "If I could only touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed." There is something about the Lord's touch. Now notice, the touch of the Lord, other than there, we see it as something that can be felt, also by faith, to touch the Lord by faith. Believing, basing your faith in His coming, as it was in the first coming of the Lord. You cannot have faith if you have nothing to base it on. In the first coming of the Lord, to obtain the new birth and to obtain the theophanic body of the sixth dimension, it was required to believe in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. That is why He asked them, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" In other words, notice, it is required to know who is the one in whom God is fulfilling that prophecy, to base the faith on that promise. And when God fulfills it, then that word becomes quickened, vindicated, and it then becomes a reality. And everything that the elect of God ask with faith, based on that promise, God will give it to him. Now he continues saying, "And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Notice he did not pray, but rather he just spoke the word. There he writes or draw a Star of David. In this other Bible, he draws a Star of David in chapter 16 to read it, because it goes upward toward verse 14, 13, 12, upward. There he writes Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18, Exodus 3, 7 to 12, 3, 15 to 22, and verse 4. Verse 16 of chapter 7 continues to say, "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." And he writes there, prophet, in the other Bible. The visitation of God, the greatest blessing. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the one with the sword in his mouth preached on March 2nd, 1980, in Cayey, Puerto Rico, it says, on this, there's a cut there of symbols, and those symbols are fulfilled. They are made a reality in each time. And in the time in which we live, all the symbols of this time, God makes them a reality and allows His children to understand the fulfillment of those symbols. Because for the children of God, understanding the fulfillment of those symbols comes to be spiritual food for their souls. Because every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is spiritual bread. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Therefore, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is spiritual bread for the soul of the elect. And the final message of God, the last message that God has to be preached at this time and for all eternity, is spiritual bread for each child of God. Because it is a two-edged sword, the king's sword. We are at the time when these things must be made a reality. And as they become a reality for the children of God, then he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. He receives all the benefits for which that prophet has come. May God have many people at this time to receive the full benefit of the ministry of the Lord in His coming, in the last prophet that God will have on this earth. May everyone receive the benefit of the work that the king's two-edged sword will do. Now remember, in the Book of the Seals, while praying, Brother Branham tells us, in the seventh seal, just about to finish the preaching of the seventh seal, because before he said that a sword had fallen into his hands. Notice on page 547, he says, and I had my hands out, and all at once, something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Or did I go into a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. Only thing I can say is what I... Just the same thing, like them angels, and it struck my hand. And I look, and it was a sword. And it had a pearl handles, real pretty, and had a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like a chrome, like silver, only it was real shiny. And it was so feather edge sharp, oh my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. And I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things, a sword, I thought. What will I do with that? And just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks, said, it's the sword of the king. And then I come out of it. The sword of the king. Now, if it said a sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king. And there is only one the king, and that's God. And he has one sword. That's his word. What I lived by. That so help me God. Standing over his holy desk here, with this holy word laying here, it's the word. Amen. Now let us turn to page 558 on the Book of the Seals. While praying, he says, in a part here at the end of the page, it says, then, Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I'm beginning to fade away. Lord, I know my days can't be too many more. And I pray that you'll help me to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere, that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down, and I get down to the river, and the waves begin to come in, O God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. Now do you see? This somebody else is the one he was preparing the way to, which is the creative word being spoken in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Remember that the most important thing and the greatest thing that God does in the midst of the human race is the miracle of opening the understanding, the scriptures of the program that God is carrying out from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. There is no greater miracle than to open the spiritual eyes to someone. That is the miracle that God is performing, although there are also physical miracles that are intertwining. And the time will come when it will be limitless, when God's power in all of its fullness will be manifested at that time, when that ministry will have reached the climax where Brother Branham went and saw everything that was being carried out there. Now notice, Brother Branham was reflecting, typifying that messenger, that ministry that was there in the great tent cathedral. It is a messenger who is alive. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets unto His servants, His prophets. Therefore, He was transported to this time. He was transported to that activity where everything was already being carried out. In other words, everything was established by that ministry, because it is God working through that ministry, placing everything in position to reach that peak part where He told me, when you see that woman coming out, in other words, He gave me there an important sign. Therefore, the one who will be seeing that woman coming out of there, then it is because he is inside, ministering at that moment, because he sees her coming out. She doesn't stay inside. Instead, he sees her coming out, pushing the stretcher. And he will not make known that mystery. He will not say how it works, nor how God is carrying out at this time that great revelation of the coming of the Lord to that church bride that was waiting for him. Because he is only revealing himself to those who are waiting for him, to those who are going to be transformed and raptured. At this end time, they are receiving the rapturing faith, the faith to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everyone who is not hearing the message, the revelation of the seventh seal, will not make the rapture. It's as simple as that. Then you will say, but all he does is read. All he does is search and read the Bible and Brother Branham's messages and Brother William's messages. Because everything that man, that prophet is speaking, is the vindication of what was spoken by those prophets. And he is the fulfillment of those scriptures. In other words, him, his cover letter, is the message. His message is everything that the prophet spoke of him. And he will be placing rightly, he will be placing in the corresponding position everything that was spoken in the sacred scriptures, and also through the message of the Reverend William Branham, and also through the message of Dr. William Soto Santiago. Now notice that in this message he tells us, let us go to a place where he tells us more openly about this. In the message on Mount Zion, preached on December 21st, 1986, in Cayey, Puerto Rico, it says, those who always persecuted the elect were the ones that remained in an age that had already ended, and their messenger had already finished their work. The persecutors have always been those who have remained outdated, who have remained in a past age or in an age or dispensation that has already ended. And they keep saying, we have such and such as a messenger. See what is happening now. The dispensation of the grace has closed. And many are saying, like what happened in the time of Brother Branham. The seventh angel messenger left, and many say, our messenger is William Marion Branham. And he left, the one in whom God was bringing the good tidings, everything needed for the spiritual Mary to receive that faith, that she and through her, that promised son would be born. See? And many stayed and said, no, our messenger is William Soto Santiago. And they stay in that dispensation that was closed. But there was a promise of a come up hither. And many of them say, no, we are in the age of the cornerstone. We are in the dispensation of the kingdom. Well, in order to be in the dispensation of the kingdom and in the age of the cornerstone, it is required to enter through the door, through the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. As simple as that. And since they do not believe the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord in that young carpenter, then they are not in that new age and that new dispensation. That is what happened 2,000 years ago, and the history is repeated again. Now, notice he continues saying, but that was the messenger of that age, where they have remained. But his ministry is finished, and that age is already left behind. And so those people staying behind causing problems and troubles for those who keep moving forward in God's program to a new age or a new dispensation with the new messenger that brings the good tidings to call and gather together the elect of that new age or new dispensation. And that messenger begins with the message that is given to him for that time. Each messenger brought the message, brought everything that pertained to that age. And when God finishes with that messenger, he leaves. That is why God takes him away. When he said, I have been sent from the presence of God to bring these good tidings. See, he was doing the work there. He brought the good tidings and he left. He said, the faster I give them, the faster I can leave. And he gave the good tidings and he left. Why would they put him in a position like he left the work unfinished because he left? And then to top it off, they say he's working over there. There is no work done in the sixth dimension. One goes there to rest because the saints do not die. But rather, they are resting. They sleep from their labors here on this planet Earth. Of which, let us see if we find also that part there that tells us about that. We will come back again to this message that we are reading. Let us see here. In this message, the importance of knowing the promises of God for our time, preached on October 12, 2014 in Asunción, Paraguay. He tells us, there are many promises, but the one we like the most is the promise of the... Let me read it again. There are many promises, but the one we like the most is the promise of the transformation. Why the promise of the transformation? Because those who will be transformed will be alive. They will be transformed without seeing death. But if someone has to leave, then you like the promise of the resurrection of the dead in Christ, because it will be resurrected in an immortal, incorruptible, and glorified body. There is no problem if you have to leave. The only thing is that if you leave, that's as far as you were able to work in the work of the Lord. And therefore, the reward does not cover the time that you will be in paradise. See? The reward covers the time you have lived on earth and worked in the work of the Lord. And he spoke to us also in the message identified by his work preached on July 8, 1984. He tells us, the first messenger already went on vacation to paradise, where he's resting there. And he has been on vacation there for almost 2,000 years. But according to the news we have received from over there, they want to come over here because they have already been on vacation for a long time over there. And they don't work, nor sleep, nor eat, nor get tired. And it seems that they want to be here again, laboring in the works that we are working. How many wants vacation? You have truly, fully understood the words that have been spoken this morning. Remember that when one goes there, as he told us, for sure they put him to speak, the people. And if he's a minister, even more. And if he's a prophet, even more. Like Brother Branham, they put him on a high place and he says, why do you place me here in this high place? They said, because back on earth you were a leader, see? And there they're also giving them everything they brought here. They can say it there, they can speak it, and they have those chats and conversations there. Because notice, they were talking to Brother Branham over there. Or the times he went there, you could notice that he spoke with them. But there, they do not work like here, that you wake up early, go to work, there is traffic also in your car. To head to work, you get caught in traffic. Then at lunch, you have to eat and all that, see? So those cares over there, they don't have them. Now, our Brother William keeps saying, how many of you want to continue working in the work of God at this time? Well, there is more work for all of us, starting with me. So my vacations have not yet been approved, and I won't be able to go. But notice, around that time he was saying, I have asked the Lord if there is no one else, or if there is someone else. And there, we have to find exactly how he said it there. Because, notice, God was not showing him there, had not revealed to him the mystery of the seventh seal wide open. But he rather understood, he comprehended, that at that time he was in a part in which God was not showing him that next part, that next stage, which would be in a new age and a new dispensation. Everything he spoke to us was showing what that new dispensation would be. And at that time, he was not given the consent. But notice in 2017, he says, the time had come for me to leave, but I asked for more time. Notice, he said, it was already time. He was told that the time was already fulfilled. At that point, he had that part already approved. But notice, he asked for more time, so that the coming of the mighty angel with the title deed, crying out, as when a lion roars and seven thunders uttering their voices, giving that title deed to that man, who cries out that time is no more. Notice, if that had not happened, then the bride would have gone through the great tribulation. But notice how God had everything kept as a secret so that the enemy would not hinder and would not interrupt the program of the fulfillment of the seventh seal. And he then asked for more time. And notice how the Holy Spirit there was speaking to us through that new instrument, saying that time would be no more, that the dispensation of grace had come to an end, and a new dispensation was beginning. That dispensational prophet, messenger, is the prophet of the dispensation of the kingdom, who said that time would be no more. The time to seek mercy on the throne in heaven, that time was already over, because the mercy seat had turned into judgment. And where he would be on this planet earth, manifesting himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, there in that new mercy seat, he will be giving mercy to the elect of God. And that's the only place where they could find mercy. Now notice that all of that is by revelation. A person on his own cannot try to have God show him the revelation and the fulfillment of the seventh seal, unless it is by the Holy Spirit opening the scriptures to him through a prophet. There is no other way. Now notice that he was then given the approval to leave, and he left. Now let us continue here in the message that we were reading at the beginning, titled, let us see here the subject, to refresh our memory a bit, the one with the two-edged sword in his mouth, where we stopped there, where he says, let us see.
Ya se lo
consigo rapidito.
I'll find it quickly.
Aquí está.
Here it is.
Dice,
he says, we find through the word of God that in the book of Revelation, in chapter 15, there is a large group of people, multitude that no one can count, whom will also receive the benefit of the ministry of the Lord in His coming. He tells us in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 and on, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Brother William says, here we can see that this group of people that no one could count, because it was a multitude that no one could count, sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And they recognized the Lord as King of the saints, because His saints had already crowned Him as their King. Now notice, that was what He told us on page 154 on the Book of the Seals. Glory, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At this moment here that we have read, the saints have already crowned Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He goes on to say, therefore, He was King of Kings, and this multitude that no one could count, just as the saints of the Lord recognized Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and crowned Him, these also recognize Him as King of the saints. They then have the song, they have the message of Moses, they have the message of the Lord for this time. Now notice, in this message, let us see something very important here, where He tells us in the one that we were reading. Which is on Mount Zion. From that message where we stopped there, it says, because we turned to the book of the seals to look that of the sword. Notice, he continues saying here in this message, it says, He is the only mouthpiece and bearer of that new message, and He is the only one who can make a new age or dispensation. Other than that person, that messenger, no one else is ordained to bring a new message and to establish a new age or a new dispensation. The rest of the people who want to preach the new message that belongs to a new dispensation or new age must receive it from the messenger that God sends to carry out that work. Anyone who tries to do it in another way will find himself against the divine program, and he will find himself in an age that has already passed or in a dispensation that has already passed, pursuing the messenger who brings the new message and establishes the new dispensation or new age. That is how persecutions always come about. It is those that are left behind, that are influenced by one or more religious leaders who do not like the way of the new messenger and the new message. In other words, the religious leaders, ministers, men, women, everything, anyone who influences, that is, who becomes an influence on other people. That's how persecutions always come about. It's those who are left behind that are influenced by one or more religious leaders who do not like the way of the new messenger and the new message. And they then begin to find faults and say, no, that's not the new messenger, nor is that the new message. And they try to prevent the people from coming out of the age that has passed. And then they begin to say to them, that messenger that appeared is not him, but is this other one. See, same thing is happening now. When God is fulfilling what he promised, notice, they began to fight against what was prophesied, what was spoken. And when God comes to carry out that which was spoken that would happen at the end of time, then they say, no, it can't be that. It's so simple, that can't be. But notice, God hid the mystery of the first coming of the Lord in a young carpenter from Nazareth. No one could thought or imagine that the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord will be carried out and fulfilled by God in a young carpenter. And he says, and what if in his second coming he fulfills it the same way? Would you believe? Look, if they're not believing now, in the time of Jesus, if they have lived back then, they would have not believed, even though they may say that they would indeed believed in Jesus. You, the attitude you take now, and that you're assuming now, is the same one that you would have taken in any time in which God would have manifested it. In the time of Moses, you would have been in the line with Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. As simple as that. Anyone who tries to do it in another way will find himself against the divine program, and will find himself in an age that has already passed, or in a new dispensation that has already passed. Persecuting the messenger who brings the new message and establishes the new dispensation or new age. That is how it always is with persecution, is those who are left behind that are influenced by one or more religious leaders who don't like the way of the new messenger or of the new message. And then they begin to find faults in him and say, that is not the new messenger, nor is that the new message. And they try to prevent the people from coming out of the age that has passed, and then they begin to say to them, that messenger that appeared is not the one, it is this one. And the one they show them is the one who just finished his ministry, and his message had already come to an end. See, the messenger they're showing now, no, our messenger is this one, William Soto Santiago. This is the messenger, and there can't be any other. No one else. There can't be any other. Everything is being fulfilled according to the divine program, see? Because that is how it was in the first coming of the Lord. Didn't they say back then, we have Moses? Notice now, they can say, we have our brother William Soto Santiago. We all have his message. We all have our brother Branham's message. We all have the message of the prophets. But today we have the total fulfillment of everything they spoke. How blessed and what a blessing the elect of God have at this end time. They have the all in all, because he is the one who is in the midst of his church. Therefore, they have it all. And they try to prevent the people from coming out of the age that has passed, and then they begin to say to them, the messenger is not the one who appeared, but this other one. And the one they show them is the one that just finished his ministry, and his message has already come to an end. And that message can only be used correctly by the new messenger to show the people the things that the past messenger said of the new age or dispensation that was about to come. The only one who can take the message of the whole Bible, of the prophets, and of his forerunner, and of the Archangel Gabriel, of the good tidings, is that dispensational messenger, the messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom. Everyone who begins to do Bible studies and talk, and mainly those who play the still small voice as well, they have gotten themselves in a deep trouble. Because notice, the only one who was ordained, and the only one who, on one occasion, they lowered the volume of the still small voice in the place I was introducing Brother William. And he sent someone to tell them, do not lower the volume while he is speaking. That voice of the still small voice was identifying that messenger who was, at a given time, going to make that change of dispensation. He was already making that dispensational interlace. Before the whole people, God was fulfilling a very but very great promise. And he said, when you're speaking, they should play the still small voice and not to turn it off. Instead, when you're going to speak, the moment that you're going to speak, well, they can turn it down a little bit. And when you're not talking, they can raise up the volume. So, as many times as you want to talk and stop, they must do it that way. But all of that, notice, God fulfills it in such a simple way that it wasn't mentioned how God would be carrying out and fulfilling that promise. Because if God were to speak through the Reverend William Branham what he saw and heard in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, the third pool, how many imitators would have set out to do the same thing? And even this way, look, there are people who play the still small voice to talk, to do studies and all that. Impersonators, see? And those who follow them are even worse impersonators. At the same time, one has to be very, but very careful, because they then fall into that position of impersonators. And since there are scriptures that have to be fulfilled, be careful not to fulfill the requirements of those imitators, of those Ananias and Sapphiras, of the Judases. See? One has to be careful about all that, not to fulfill those requirements. And many are already fulfilling them in all those details, in all those aspects. And the one shows, I'm reading. Every time I go back, I read about one or two sentences beforehand to link it all together. And the one they show them is the one that just finished his ministry. And his message has already come to an end. And that message can only be used correctly by the new messenger to show the people the things that the past messenger said of the new age or dispensation that was about to come. He is the only one who can take that message and give it to the people the right way for a new dispensation, not to take it to a dispensation or age that has already passed, but to show them that the messenger before him had already spoken of this new message that would come from that new messenger and the people who would receive that new message and would go into a new age or a new dispensation. It is not that what a past messenger spoke is of no use, but that message has to be taken the right way when used in another age or in another dispensation. It is taken and shown what was spoken for a new age or new dispensation. And with that, it is shown that it was a divine promise that is taking place for the people who are living in a change of age or dispensation. The only one who can take the message of the Reverend William Branham and of the Bible, and the message of the Reverend William Branham, and the message brought to us by the Archangel Gabriel, our beloved brother William Soto Santiago, is this dispensational prophet in whom God is fulfilling his coming. As simple as that. Now, notice, he continues to say where we stopped in the message. Let us see here. The one with the sword in his mouth. Let us continue here. We are going from here to there, so let us continue here now, he says. There is the ministry of the first Moses, or the ministry of Moses for the first time. But there is also the ministry of Moses for the second time, according to Revelation 11. And they will have the song, the message of the second Moses, of the ministry of Moses, operating for the second time. Because with that ministry is that God works with 144,000 as well, for the 144,000 Hebrews. It is the ministry of Moses and the ministry of Elijah. It is the ministry of the Lord. It is the ministry of the Messiah. It is the ministry of the Lord in his coming, according to the order of his coming, operating in a human being, operating in one of the children of God, who will live on this earth, who will have been predestinated for that purpose. He will not be the Lord. He will not be Elijah. He will not be Moses. But those ministries will be operating in him for the good, for the benefit of all the elect, from the east to the west, and from the west to the east. Therefore, all the saints on the Lord, when they recognize and see the coming of the Lord, and recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and crown Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're not doing that to the instrument that God has, but rather they will be doing that to the Lord, which is Spirit, who they will recognize manifested in a body of human flesh. The one they crown is the Lord, who is Spirit. But in order to be crowned, He must take a body of human flesh, because a spirit cannot be crowned. In order for the Lord to be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords by His saints, in His coming He must then be incarnate in one of the elect, in one of the children of God who are living on this earth, appointed by the word of God as a prophet, as the last of the prophets, as the Benjamin of the prophets. And through His manifestation in human flesh, the Lord will be fulfilling His second coming, and He will be manifesting Himself, bringing the sharp two-edged sword in His mouth, the word of God for the time of the coming of the Lord, the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the message of the third dispensation. That is what has been promised in the word of God, and that is what God will be doing at this end time. And that is what the children of God will be seeing God do. And they will rejoice when they see God doing these things that He promised to do at this end time. May God open the eyes of all His children at this end time, to be in expectation, looking and watching, to see the Lord in His coming with a sharp two-edged sword in His mouth, so that everyone can see the king's sword in the mouth of the king. May God continue to bless us. And in this subject of this occasion, at this end time, may He allow all His children to see. May He allow them to see the one with the two-edged sword in His mouth. Now, in this message also, titled, God Defers His Wrath, preached on June 9, 2012, in Calle, Puerto Rico, and it says, in some occasion, I will speak to you more clearly about those health problems that entered the human race back there in the time of Adam and Eve, and from where those problems arrived. We will see with more details how they entered the human race. Today we are here in this biblical study. Also tomorrow, for Sunday is dedicated to biblical studies on biblical school in all the churches that believe in Christ, no matter the denomination, no matter the group. Now notice, that was the work of the Holy Spirit, notice, in which in Matthew, He tells us about that work to gather every kind of fish. And there was the promise that at the end of time, God would send the reaping angels to make that separation, that segregation between right and wrong. It says in the Gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 13, verse 47, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. Sitting down where? Where would those ministries would sit? Notice, in that instrument, because that's what James and John wanted. They told their mom to ask Jesus for that. And Jesus said to them, that is not mine to give, but it shall be given to those for whom it is already foreordained of God. In other words, that work that those ministries would be carrying out, which the ministry of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus would be repeating, was ordained before the foundation of the world for that instrument, that veil of flesh. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now there, cast the bad away. Notice, there is a message that Brother Branham says, in the message, the God of this evil age, he says, on page 18, and when the light flashes, they scattered away. They went out from us because they wasn't of us. The Bible said, see, they cannot live in the light of the world, for the God of heaven has sent his light in these last days, that he might lighten the path for his children. Notice what he told us there. They are not with us because they were not of us, and they had to leave. What it says here, they cast the bad away because they were not of those fish which Brother Branham threw the hook to catch those fish. Notice on page, let us see here in the book of quotations, page 12, paragraph 97. There you can read all that, which is what tells us about those stages in which the Reverend William Branham was. Then notice, first, he had been put in a place where an activity was taking place. Notice, all of that is happening in the ages. And then later on, he takes him to a lake. Then later on, he takes him to a place where he sees himself trying to put a shoelace into the eyelet of a little baby shoe, see? And those are Pentecostals. He's ascending from stage to stage. All of that was already shown, represented in, and fulfilled in the time of Brother Branham and all that time. But notice that he was then placed higher up, and that was also shown, represented and fulfilled in the time of our Brother William. Because the only one that is carrying out that miraculous catch of fish is the instrument that God has alive in this end time. Where Brother Branham, let us finish first here this quote of Matthew chapter 13, so as not to lose the thread. Verse 50, verse 49 says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Now notice in this message, the serpent's seed, on page 39, it tells us there, the Reverend William Branham, in this message, a paragraph at the end, it says, I just have to preach the word. I cast in it and pull it in. There is frogs, and there is water spiders, and there is snakes, and there's some fish too. That's up to God to decide that. I just pulled in it. Just preach the word and pull it in. And say, here they are, Lord, all around the altar. You know your own. You've known them since the foundation. I don't know which is which. You do. He did not know. None of the messengers knew. That is why if he left, notice in that same chapter 13, verse, let us see here. Verse 24 says, of the gospel according to Matthew, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, that is, the messengers of each age, sir, didst now thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather of the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. No messenger of the ages knew, was aware, of who was wheat and who was tares. Their work was to gather the net. And there, notice, he says, he cast the net and pulled. And the same thing happened in the time of Brother William. He cast the net and pulled it. Notice all those things that happened. The first pull, the second pull, of the fish approaching, watching. All those were stages that were carried out in his ministry, which was a work that was carried out in different spheres here among humanity. And all of that corresponded to the stage where God was going to carry out that separation and that harvest of the big fish. That is why, at the end of time, some will say, but I did this and I did the other. I work here, I work in this organization, I work in this other one. I was a he director and a she director. Or I was this and that. I did so many things, I work all night, I contributed more than everybody else. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. Notice, they are not recognized as God's elected instruments belonging to that age and that dispensation, because they rejected the mercy of God for the last time. They refused to enter through that door. In other words, they are not recognized by the messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom. Because if a person does not recognize someone as ruler or as a king, why would he want him in his cabinet? He or she will not be in his kingdom. Well, all those who have not received the Lord in his second coming, in the fulfillment of the seventh seal of that angel who is different from the rest, they will not be in the marriage supper of the Lamb, nor in the glorious millennial kingdom. We will see them again after the millennium, if they have not crossed the line. Then they will obtain eternal life. Otherwise, they will be destroyed in soul, spirit, and body. As simple as that. Now notice, that work of casting the net, here, later on, when they say to the Lord, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto them, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now notice how that instrument in whom God is operating the ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, they have that work. It is the word that is carrying out that work. And many leave so not to follow that instrument, the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, because they were not of us, and the word itself is what exposes them. Turn on the light, he says a little bit before in the message we just read, and you see roaches and crickets scattered around. And he says, they went out from us because they weren't of us. Now look, Brother Branham says there, I just have to preach the word and cast the net and pull it in. There is frogs, and there is water spiders, and there is snakes, and there is some fish too. That's up to God to decide that. I just pull the net, just preach the word and pull it in, and say, here they are, Lord, all around the altar. You know your own. Notice all that was fulfilled in that page. On paragraph 97 of the Book of Quotations, where in the beginning, notice, all of that was shown there. All that was being fulfilled in the time of Brother Branham, and also part of it in the time of Brother William. Here they are, Lord, all around the altar. You know your own. You've known them since the foundation. I don't know which is which. But those reaping angels do know. They do know who is who. You do. So it's up to you, Lord. That's the best I can do. I'll go over here and sing somewhere else now and get another group in. That's all I can do. All right. And he writes, the net and the catch. And in the other, he writes, Matthew 13, 47 to 50. Now, notice how God is fulfilling at this end time all that he promised. And he said that it would be in such a simple way that if we do not watch, we would miss it. And he would be receiving those who were waiting for him. Notice in the message, the true disciples remain in the Word, preached on May 19, 1999, in Scarcega, Mexico. He says, and notice how in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 tells us, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is not lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Brother William says, so that in his second coming, we don't separate ourselves from him, so that when he manifests himself in his second coming, we do not separate ourselves, so that we are pulled close to him, received by him. That is why he said, whosoever comes to me, I will not cast out. And at this end time, all those who have drawn near to the fulfillment of that visitation of God, the greatest blessing, the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord, have been received by him. In other words, all those who have drawn near to the fulfillment of his second coming. The visitation of God, the greatest blessing. Let us stand.
Y así dejamos en este tema la visitación de Dios, la más grande bendición, a nuestro apreciado hermano y amigo, el doctor William Soto Santiago.